Great evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us. This is Sex and Dippity. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman, and tonight I have a wonderful guest. I'm going to let you introduce yourself, Jonathan, please.
Okay. Well, my name is Jonathan Asley, and I'm a dating relationship coach for women.
Primarily, to begin with, it's so exciting, a dating coach for women.
I know. Yeah, it's great because I get to talk to women all day long.
I know. Everybody's jealous of you.
Okay. Some of the guys think I'm crazy, though.
Why is that?
Oh, my gosh. We don't want to get into that.
We do. So tell me, I'm going to, of course, ask you about your business and what you do. And but tell me, I want to start with like an interesting scenario. Pick something out of your head that you find and, you know, you like that kind of story that you like to tell.
Oh, my
people
gosh.
About your experience.
Now you're catching me off guard. Well, you know what I think is an interesting story is even kind of how I got involved with doing this.
Yes.
And that is, you know, after turning 40 and going through a divorce, I found myself going, you know, I'd like to have a relationship. And I started online dating. And I was in for a new world, because there was no online dating when I got married. So, and it was great. You know, I'm communicating with women, getting dates, meeting them for coffee, going on, you know, meeting them for drinks and such like that, which was fun.
Yeah.
And I found myself kind of addicted to the process.
To just meeting new women.
Yeah. You know, it was great. At first I was a serial dater. You know, I was like the king of going out on the first or second date and never going anywhere.
Yeah. The happily ever after is less important. Yeah.
You know, I started off going, I'm going to hit a home run on the first date. And I can still remember that date because she's a fantastic gal. We still communicate every once in a while through Facebook.
Yeah.
But what happened was there were a lot of good things, but a couple things missing.
Yeah.
So I started on this kind of like, looking for the next best thing.
Yeah.
And then online dating became this candy store kind of environment. And I'm communicating with women and I'm text messaging and instant messaging. But what was happening was during all these conversations, I'm developing friendships. Because it wasn't about meeting for dates. We're just sharing our stories, talking about dating, talking about our past relationships. And then all of a sudden, they'd reach out and ask, hey, Jonathan, I've got this date with this guy. Will you go online and check out his profile and tell me what you think?
Really?
So this is where it gets interesting. You ask for an interesting story. Yeah. So I'd go check out their profile. And I'd say, well, I noticed like this, this, and this about the guy.
Pinpointing.
Yeah, I go, you know, just kind of off the cuff. And they go, you know what, Jonathan? I've been talking to this guy for a week. He's nothing like you describe. So I said, go on the date and tell me what happens.
Wait and see.
Yeah, wait and see. Go on the date. So sure enough, they go on the date.
Yeah.
The date would end. The car door would close. The text message in bold letters, Jonathan, can you talk?
You were right.
And then it was like, I get on the phone, they go, you were right. Okay. It was exactly the way you described.
Oh my God.
You know what? This wasn't happening once. This was happening over and over and over again.
Wow.
And I realized, you know how like the FBI have profilers for serial killers? Okay, I could spot the serial daters, the serial monogamists, the nice guys, the players, and the guy looking for you.
Okay.
And that's how I literally kind of morphed into what I'm doing now. Because before that, I was an insurance broker for 20 years. You know, did pretty well, but I was miserable. I wasn't
happy.
You're
in the wrong business.
I was in the wrong business. I put together a website. You know, I wrote a couple ebooks about online dating.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, my life changed in ways I couldn't even begin to imagine. Because now I'm following my passion.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy helping women. It's not just about understanding men, which my website's Understand Men Now.
Yes.
It's really about helping them transform from being attracted to Mr. Wrong and really helping them find their Mr. Right. And I do it by helping them first kind of clear the past. Because oftentimes we're holding on to some baggage, some issue in the past.
Oh, it happens a lot.
So we work on clearing the past first. Then we become crystal clear on what we want.
Yes.
And I swear, women so think, I know exactly the type of guy I want. So I do a little exercise with them, have them write out their ideal relationship, and then I show them where they're kind of could tweak that.
Okay.
And then once that happens, they have absolute clarity on the type of relationship they want. Okay. And when you have clarity, don't you have more confidence?
Yeah, of course.
Because ultimately, the women that come to me,
yeah,
or the women that don't come to me, even, really, actually, there's a lot more of them, are lacking confidence.
Okay.
And they're the women that don't come to me believe that they have confidence, but they
they're
really,
mistaken.
Yeah. Well, it's a false belief.
Yeah.
And so what happens is once you have confidence, don't you find this coming from a space of knowing?
Yeah.
Like
of
when
course.
You know.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah. So when you know what you want, you're really crystal clear, then you make better choices. So that's why you transform from Mr. Wrong to Mr. Right, because you're going to make better choices.
Yes.
And I guess that's the interesting story.
It is. It's fascinating. And I'm sure you have plenty of those. But I'm curious, did it help you in terms of your relationship to find your Miss Right?
You know, I am deliriously in love. We just finished.
That is beautiful.
You know, not finished, but we just, oh my God, there
we
you go.
We just resumed.
No, we just celebrated.
Okay.
Excuse me, my beloved.
Yes.
Celebrated 3 years of dating, and we actually hit a pivotal point where we kind of looked at each other and said, where's this going?
Yes.
And because we were enjoying the journey, we're having so much fun. We were, you know, holding hands as if we were partners, but we really didn't take that step to look to the through the window of the future, you know, with this, you know, looking through the same window.
Yeah.
So for me, the business that I began really was my journey to find love for myself.
Yes. Which
and
is
so,
probably the most honest path that you really kind of pursue your passion, if that's something you are interested in specifically, personally. Yes, please.
I looked at it, finding a mate was more important than finding a job.
Yes.
Because ultimately, the person we choose to, you know, go
share
down this path.
Should.
Yeah. I mean, people make so many poor choices and look what happens. They live a life of frustration.
Yeah.
So for me, it was hugely important. But along the way, I got to find my passion and my purpose.
That is
so
amazing.
I started kind of on the path of finding love, which really was finding love within myself.
Yes.
Because that's the lesson I learned.
Right.
I learned in this relationship that it's not about getting the love.
It's about giving.
Oh my God. It's, you know, everything I do is about giving.
Yes.
And I appreciate with so much gratitude the getting.
Yes.
But I've learned that I am so much happier when it's just give, give, give. Now, I want to share with everyone that's listening.
Yes.
This isn't about being a pleaser or being a doormat. That's not being a giver.
I don't think anybody wants that.
No, but they act that way because they're trying to get.
Okay.
So if you give with an expectation of get, you're already behind the eight
ball. Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you just give without any expectation of receiving.
You will.
You will.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm a coach for women. And let me tell you, guys want to make women happy. We do.
It is true. Yeah. It's just this misconception, I think, because women come across so many Mr. Wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you about that in a minute.
Okay.
But in general, yeah, because women are so, and unfortunately, you know, I don't represent the entire, you know, female species.
Yeah.
But it's funny that, you know, our sex is being viewed as, you know, a little intimidated and in search of pleasing someone also.
Yeah.
Or so you're either this, and women are doormats as well, you know, many, many times. But so you're either this or you're a bitch and you're in pursuit of something that you're never going to find, or you're too overly confident and, you know, think that you deserve something more than you do. So I want to ask about that really, because you mentioned that women were making the wrong choices. And then after you kind of opened that window and exposed them to the right one, they started making the right choices because they were more confident and they saw things more clearly. So what is this, if you can really kind of pinpoint it, you know, what is this specific change that needs to be, of course, it's a whole theory, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But what is the specific, maybe one or two changes that women need to do in order to even go, you know, start the right direction?
You know, it's funny. As I was driving here today to do our call, our recording,
show.
I should say, duh. you know, I was thinking about the show Sex and the City.
Yes.
And I had this thought about, you know, the different characters.
Right.
And, you know, if you remember the characters.
I remember.
Okay, so you had Samantha, who was basically a guy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You had Miranda, who was really the achieving woman.
Yeah, the bitch.
Okay. Well, I don't want to call her so much a bitch, but, you know, we'll call it achieving
society,
move.
Society, you know, looks at
it as. She was confident, independent, self.
Right, doesn't take crap from anybody.
So that's Miranda.
Yeah.
You had Charlotte that was the dreamer.
Pollyanna.
You know? Yeah, absolutely, Pollyanna. And then you had Carrie, which was the good girl, bad choices.
Right.
So,
yeah, always chasing the wrong dream.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. If I poll women who they think they are, you know, they think that they're one, you know, when they're really one of the other ones, or they're a combination of that.
Or what they want to be, probably.
Yeah. So what I do as a coach, and oftentimes, let's say they come to me as a Carrie, you know, good girl, bad choices, is really shine a light on why are they making these choices.
Okay.
So, in fact, I even have a coaching program called Spotlight Coaching, which is designed to shine a light on what they most desire and also gain clarity when it comes to dating, mating, and relating. So when you look at your choices and then take personal ownership, personal responsibility for your actions. And it's not one of those, you know, you're pointing the finger at men, okay? Because I hear that all the
time. Which happens a lot.
Oh, my gosh.
Women do that all the time.
So when you're pointing the finger at men, what's pointing back at you? Three other fingers, right? So it's really an opportunity to reflect within yourself. Now, some of that might be significantly associated with your childhood and your upbringing.
Right.
And in that case, oftentimes I see patterns with what's called love attachment styles.
Yes.
And so when their attachment style is of an anxious behavior, okay?
Right.
They're very needy. So the minute they meet a guy, it's like
lacking
you complete.
Confidence.
Yeah. And it's all about him. You're giving your power away.
Right.
It's about really taking ownership of that and observing how you react in relationship.
Right.
And then practicing that, giving yourself space to practice not to go down that road.
Okay.
And honestly, this is hard to do when you're single and alone.
It is very hard to do.
It's about in relationship is when you can actually work through your childhood wounds. You can work through your love attachment styles in relationship because it's all about being present. And I think most, both men and women, they're either thinking about the past or they're focused on the future.
But not living in the present.
When you live in the present, you can be absolutely aware of what's going on and you can say, ah, that's interesting that I reacted that way.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It is very true, but I find that this clarity that you're talking about is rare. You know, from the women that I come across, unfortunately, there are women that are either, as I said, very confident and know what they're pursuing, not necessarily finding what they want, because obviously we see a lot of single people in search of, in quest of something. But a lot of these women don't even understand, and this is from my point of view as a therapist, don't even understand that it can be worked through. Either they believe that it needs, you know, a long, long therapy and maybe at one point, you know, but they can't even imagine that they can go into a relationship and actually within it make the change.
Sure.
So this is really a fascinating. Please tell us more about it.
Well, I'll even look at my own relationship.
Yeah.
It's funny because we always joke that I was the, you know, my girlfriend's the guy and I'm the chick. Okay. And what that really means is she tends to be a little bit more avoidant.
Yeah.
And I tend to be a little more anxious. So, you know, women have been stereotyped as being anxious.
Right.
And although that's shifting quite a bit.
Yeah. And it's also a cultural thing.
There's that. And there's, again, it goes back to our love attachment style. So I tended to be more of the anxious one. I was a little more needy.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the benefit for me was, look, I'm in relationship with a therapist, so she could even pick up on my cues. And we were able to process this in real time.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I've observed as our relationship grew, and I realized that for the most part, she isn't going anywhere.
Right.
Okay.
You feel confident and calm.
I became more confident.
Yes.
And then really once I had confidence within myself, I was able to be more confident and show up more as a man to her, which allowed her feminine side to come out.
Right. The gender roles were getting
so how
balanced.
Would that work in reverse for women? Mm-hmm. It's really going, you know, look, you've got your guy isn't going anywhere.
Right.
Chances are men who are in relationship for about 6 months, they begin to do what I call nesting.
Yes.
You know, just like a bird nest. You know, they
it's
nest.
True.
And they're not going anywhere. Now, he may not be as romantic as you wish he was in the beginning, you know, because in the beginning phase, he's chasing. You know, we're strung out on chemistry, you know. The brain chemicals are running amok, you know, testosterone and estrogen and oxytocin and dopamine. And we men are driven to have sex. And
right.
Then, Then 6 months, we're not as driven by those same chemicals, but it doesn't mean we're going anywhere.
Yes.
And so if you're in that space of, you know, that anxious space, and you sent a text and he doesn't respond.
Calls
Wait a minute.
To everybody.
It's only been 3 minutes.
Yes. No, if he doesn't respond in 20 seconds, it's done.
That's a great opportunity to observe your own actions and say, that's interesting.
Yes.
Because he's there. He hasn't gone anywhere.
Well, I believe that, and I'm going to let you continue, but I just want to step in and say that I believe that if you are that anxious about him leaving, then it's probably not a healthy relationship to begin with. I mean...
Well, not necessarily. Well, and I guess let's define healthy, because if you're there to work on your wounds, then it's absolutely a necessity.
Right.
Okay, so that relationship is there for you to learn and grow.
Yeah.
So, and let's face it, let's be real. People today probably are going to have not one relationship for the rest of their lives. Look, my parents have been married 60 plus years.
Yeah, it's a different generation.
Okay?
Mine too.
All right. So the average person has 8 to 20 relationships.
Right.
And I made up that number, so don't quote me, okay? All right. And I'm talking about relationships that go, you know, 3 months to three years, okay?
Yeah.
So let's be real. The person you're with, you don't get hung up on the destination.
Right.
Okay?
The journey is the
thing. Most important thing. In fact, for most of my clients, I coach what I call relationship light.
Yes.
Okay. And that's about taking the pressure off of where the relationship is going.
The wedding.
Exactly. Focus on the here and now. Now, I'm all in favor, if you're going to be intimate, to have an agreement.
Exclusivity.
Exclusive sex.
If that's what you want.
Yeah. I'm a believer of that. So I'm all a proponent for that.
And if you choose to be monogamous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as far as moving in together and marriage, is it realistic that you're going to know that in the first 90 days?
No.
Probably not.
No.
So the most a man can commit to in the early stages, look, I'm going to see you on a regular basis and we're going to have exclusive sex.
Yes.
Okay. So with that, it's about enjoying the journey. Now, some women go, well, we get bonded and we get attached. Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
The guy says, I'm fully in on the first date, and he says it on the 10th date, and he says it on the 20th, you know, then 3 months, I'm fully in.
Yes.
And we've had sex, and then he breaks up with you. How is that going to change? Because you knew he claims to be fully in before he's even ready to say those words.
Yes.
By forcing that issue before, let's be real, how many people know that they're fully in the first 90 days?
Yeah.
But nobody's not going to have sex in the first 90 days.
Right. Unfortunately, yes, I hope not. I mean, that would be really disappointing. But
well, there's a couple of people that believe in the 90-day rule, and I'm not a proponent for that.
Yeah. Well,
at least rules anyway.
Yes, these rules in general. But I want to say a few things.
Okay.
First of all, the idea, and there are a few studies that talk about determination to marry. It's really DTM. It's called. It always reminds me of this DTF that they talked about on this terrible show, the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
But that's a different thing.
Not into it.
Determination to marry is something that really kind of is identified with women.
Okay.
Unfortunately, less men were determined to get married, even though it's not necessarily, I mean, a lot of men are interested. Obviously, there are couples that are married. So, but it was very, women found it so necessary to have that determination and to kind of enforce it on someone else and kind of get this agreement to do that from your partner, that they were so consumed, as you say, with that need or that, you know, promise that someone is going to be there forever and everything. And another thing, a few of the same studies found that the idea of long-term relationship, or they call it time horizon, where women are focused on a long-term relationship and they're kind of convinced that this is going to go there. That's the only way that they can kind of relax and fall into this relationship and be confident about it. And that's what women claimed, that men don't have that. Men are very comfortable with the idea of the moment, of now, the present, and we're enjoying each other and hopefully it will go somewhere. They're not saying they're not interested, but they're not as intense about the future. While women were only satisfied, a lot of these women in the studies claimed that they were only satisfied with that relationship if that had held a promise for the future, which is really kind of, you know, it's a problem because these two sides kind of negate. They don't go together. and there's a dissent. So it doesn't really, there's a discord. It doesn't go well.
Well, the socialization, it's two things for women. Yeah. They're kind of pre-wired for, you know, security and monogamy.
Right.
So
yeah.
There's that kind of pre-wiring.
Well, I don't necessarily agree about monogamy, but yes.
Okay, well, pre-wired for security,
yes.
If you will.
Mm-hmm.
And second is the socialization, you know. I mean, women are told, well, God, you're such a great catch. Why are you still single?
Yes, you're beautiful and bright. Why are
you still
alone?
Why are you alone? So there's a shaming going on. So there's almost this pressure, this predetermined pressure,
very
as you
true.
Say, to mate, if you will, to have a relationship. Whereas men are, as you said, the here and now is true.
Yeah.
And I'll say that speaking as a guy. But we do nest.
Yeah.
Which means once
you
we're in a relationship, we get comfortable. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, and because we're not going anywhere, women are kind of like anxious to hear, well, I want to know where it's going. I need to know where it's going. I want to know what the next step is.
Always in pursuit of the future.
Because where a man's head is he's focused on his purpose.
Right.
Okay? So when a man is focused on his purpose.
Yes.
And he knows he's nesting, he's happy.
Yeah.
Okay?
He doesn't need the promise for the future.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's already, in his own mind, he's not going anywhere.
Yes.
Okay? That is his level of commitment.
Right.
Okay? Now, I'm talking about the first 3 years of relationship. I think the dynamic probably shifts after that. You know, I think I just read a study that said it takes the average courtship level is about 2.7 years or 2.8
it's
years
true,
of courtship before getting engaged.
Yes.
So let's be real. You know what? That's the trial period to see if you're a really good fit for the long term. So expecting something much earlier than that is definitely pushing the agenda.
Yeah.
And I think that could be dangerous because when you push a man too much,
you push him out.
What's going to happen? He's going to pull away.
Yeah.
Now, I have something what I call the 5 C's to a successful relationship.
Okay.
So this might help your audience.
Yes.
Okay. So we probably know the first three. There's chemistry, okay, communication, compatibility,
and then there's commitment.
Character.
Okay.
And continuity.
Oh.
Okay. So that's my 5 C's to a successful relationship.
Nice.
So chemistry is kind of obvious.
Commitment
you know?
Is not one of them?
We're going to get to that in a second. Okay. Which will I'll explain it when we get to continuity. So chemistry, look, we've got brain chemicals. We're attracted to each other. That's actually the first thing we ever see in relationship.
Yes.
Is the chemistry.
Yes.
Because how many relationships go like this? Oh, my God. They come to me, Jonathan, I met the most amazing man in the world. He's nice, he's kind, he's smart, he's intelligent, he's got a great job, but I have no chemistry.
Ugh, that would never work.
Or, oh my God, Jonathan, I met this guy, the chemistry is so intense, it's off the charts, we can read each other's minds. But he's a bad, he's a commitment phobic, okay?
Yeah.
So chemistry is at that first level.
Yes.
We get to the next level, communication. That's really the foundation for friendship.
Yes.
I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of couples who have been in long-term happy relationships, and they all say the exact same thing. I go, what's the secret to your success?
Yes.
They say, we're best friends.
You know, Nietzsche said that, and I'm just going to intervene,
sure.
That the failure of marriage is not because of lack of love, but because of lack of friendship.
Yeah.
And it's very true. I agree. Keep going.
So, you know, communication is really about friendship.
Yeah.
Next, compatibility. That's mostly, it's not about being exactly the same. It's about blending lives.
Right.
Today, and again, my audience is women who are dating men over 40. So when we come to the table with our lives kind of complicated or, you know, it just is.
Yes.
The challenge today is blending lives. And
yes.
The TV show Brady Bunch made it look so simple. You know, he had his three perfect kids. She had her three perfect kids. They were both widowers, so they didn't have exes. To deal with.
Right.
And they
coast is clear.
Yeah, they could blend lives so easy. And the reality is that doesn't work today.
Yeah.
You know? So compatibility is about the ability to blend lives.
Yes.
And when you make choices with people that you can't blend lives with, so you fall madly in love with a guy, you live in Los Angeles, he lives in Texas, he can't move, you can't move, but you're madly in love with each other, how are you going to blend lives?
Yeah.
So
long distance relationships are.
Well, by the way, long distance could be. You know, I live in the Los Angeles and she lives in the valley.
Yeah, in our society, it could
so
be.
So in Los Angeles, you know, an hour drive is actually 3 hours of traffic.
I know.
So that's compatibility. Character is key here. Character is our value system. Do we share the same values in our critical areas?
Yes.
Okay. Do we share the same value on
health? It's important that it's critical.
Yeah. So let me use
an
example.
Not the meager things.
Well, values is where if you're not aligned in your values, yes. what are you going to have? Friction. Right. You're going to have power struggles. So let's say a value system for you is healthy living.
Yes.
Okay. And you're dating a chain smoker who likes to, you know, eat unhealthy or they like to do drugs and alcohol. And it goes against your value of healthy living
yeah.
and you're a vegan or whatnot. So I'm using that as an example. Or it might be your value system around charity.
Right.
Or it might be around justice.
Or now, religious.
Well,
religion.
That's a little bit different. You know, but then again, it's your spiritual value, if you will.
Does your political view fall into this, that category
well,
of yours?
I think political view is more of your perception mm-hmm. of the world as opposed to a value.
Okay.
So, and I think, look, there are successful couples where one's a Democrat and one's a Republican. So long as you have a forum to share your opinion and you're able to communicate as friends without,
and you're not
you know, without
argumentative
judgment.
Whenever
yeah.
something comes up.
Yeah, but if you're constantly right. argumentative. Now, let me give you an example of value where my sweetheart and I differ.
Yeah.
I am, to me, punctuality is hugely important.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I got here a half hour early.
Yes.
That's just the way I am because I'd rather never show up late.
Yeah,
now,
I agree.
My sweetheart, she's great. She's about 15 minutes late. Okay. Now, actually, that's so much better than the women I've dated that are an hour late. But to me, I said, okay, that's a value for me, punctuality.
Yeah, I agree.
That's important to me. But yet that's one I can bend. Okay.
Right.
So there are values where we do kind of bend within ourselves. And we've got to ask ourselves, is that going to be the deal breaker that breaks the relationship?
Well, I believe it's also the magnitude of it. I mean, because
yeah.
you said she's 15 minutes late and not an hour and a half. So
but an hour late was going to create power struggles, going to create frustration.
Right. So it's more manageable because it is kind of short. And not intense.
You know, deal breakers is one of those things that, you know, cause a lot of frustration. And
yeah.
So here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
I consider honesty, integrity, givens.
Yes.
Okay. You don't even have to mention an online dating profile. To me, it's like the first equation in geometry. It's a given.
Right.
After that, have clarity on what your values are. And if you don't know them, then here's the deal. Go Google the word. Search for values, and there are 423 values, and learn the ones that are most important to you.
Yes.
That's character.
Yes.
Lastly, continuity. So this is what leads to commitment.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh,
so these
okay.
are my five C's.
Yes.
All right. So first one is emotional connection.
Yes.
So there's five fingers to the rung of continuity, and the first one's emotional connection.
Yes.
Next is economic agreement.
Okay.
When you think about it, most divorce filings, 50% of them
are around money.
Are around money.
Yes.
Okay, are the cause around money.
Yes.
So in the early stages of dating, if you're not in economic agreement on how you manage finances, how you might share finances, would you, you know, is there an expectation that the guy always pays? All
right,
that kind
spending,
of stuff.
Spending, yes.
Yeah, if you're not in economic agreement, you're going to have frustration in your relationship.
Definitely.
Okay, the next one's really important. For mm-hmm. long-term relationship. And that is social activities and hobbies.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I have observed with successful couples that they share social activities together outside of the home and
yeah.
hobbies. Now, I'm not saying they share every hobby, but I'll use my parents, for example.
Yes.
And they're kind of the basis for all my coaching.
That's
you know?
Lovely. I like it.
So they love to play backgammon. I mean, they probably play once or twice a day, if not, or a week, if you will. And they love it, and they play for $1 a game, and you can see the passion that
right.
comes out when they're playing this game. It is World War III in our
yes.
house, you know, when they're going at it, you know, when playing a backgammon game. And they do it for hours. That's a hobby that they do that they enjoy.
Enjoy
it's
together.
Fun. Now, it might be that you enjoy, you know, going to museums. It might be that you enjoy photography. It might be enjoying hiking. You know, it's a social activity and something you enjoy doing
right.
together.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying everything together, but having shared activities and hobbies is hugely important.
Yes.
The next rung is family and friends. You know, relationships that are rooted for long term have connection with those roots of their family and friends.
Definitely.
Because without that support system of community,
yes.
it's going to be really hard to hold it together when it's just the two of you.
And it's also not true that you're not, let's talk about marriage, for instance, that yeah. you're not marrying the family because you are. I mean,
yeah.
you are attached to the entire past of that person and where he comes from.
And the truth is you're not going to necessarily get along with everyone and there's no guarantee.
Right.
Okay. My sweetheart's dad wasn't fond of me in the beginning. Now, you know, he accepts me.
Yeah.
So it's also not giving up just because someone doesn't like you or something like that.
Yeah,
but it's also,
worth
it. It's putting effort.
Right.
Okay. And lastly, intimacy.
Yes.
Okay. Because without intimacy, your relationship will most likely be boring. It won't be exciting from a physical level. I mean, the list, hey, this is your area of expertise, sweetheart.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to get to it.
So intimacy.
Yes.
So what I've just described are the roots for a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
And I want you to imagine for a moment a tree in a hurricane wind.
Yes.
Okay. If that tree has no roots, what's going to happen?
Yeah, of course. It's the end of it.
It's going to blow away. So the stronger your roots, the more it's going to survive the relationship storms. Because every relationship is going to have bumps and little storms. But the more rooted you are, and guess what? You have commitment.
That's nice. I like the way
it's the five C's to a successful relationship. Yeah. And I actually talk about that in my program, Unlocking the Male Mind. Which you can find on my website.
So. Okay. Give us our website again.
Oh, website is understandmennow.com. Understandmennow.com.
Okay. That's terrific. And I encourage all of you women to go and check it out and see what Jonathan is saying there because it's fascinating. I want to go and say that going back to the whole stability and believing in the long term of a relationship, I don't know if you came across this terrific, amazing book by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. She wrote a book called Women Who Run With Wolves.
Okay. Oh, I vaguely remember seeing
it's
the cover of that.
It's an unbelievable book. Okay. And again, to my female viewers, I realize it's a very feminine book, even though men should really read it as well. And I highly recommend it because it has so many values and so many insights. It's really thick. It's like almost like a Bible. Really, and should be related to as such. Really fascinating. But she talks a lot about that instability or the need in the beginning of a relationship where everything is kind of a little rocky and you're not convinced. And she says, and I tend to agree, that it's necessary. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really need these things, this lack of stability or the idea that this is here to stay. Yeah. It's kind of necessary for you. This edginess is necessary for you to build a good relationship. How do you feel about that?
You know, that's a great question. Yeah. I wouldn't just say that. You know, I think as human beings, there's two important needs that we have.
Yeah.
And the first need is certainty.
Yes.
Okay? Because when we feel certain, because it's like the ground we're on isn't shaky.
Yeah.
By the same token,
yeah,
we need uncertainty, which is really about variety.
Right.
Okay? Because without variety, life would be boring. So it's the balance between certainty and uncertainty. And in the early stages of dating, for example,
yeah,
I mean, let's face it, the rush is the uncertainty.
Right. You know, and that's what she rush. Says. It's yeah. the need.
So that's yeah. the rush that happens. And then all of a sudden, we become fixated on like, oh my God, I need to have certainty because my past relationships, this is what happened.
Right.
Or this is what happened.
And we
this
take
is
all the
happened.
Examples from past relationships yeah. and inflict it on the current one,
yeah.
which is a mistake. But we tend to do it. It's human. We mm-hmm. tend to do it. Women tend to do it even more, unfortunately. And I'm sure you come across it all the time. How do you break that cycle, that vicious cycle?
Well, again, it goes back to what I said earlier, being yeah. present.
Yeah.
You know, it's being in the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not about the past. Because here's what happens on dates. Okay. I see it happen with a lot of women.
Yeah.
They're meeting the guy for the first time. They connected online. They've got their first date. You know, they meet at the restaurant. You know, she sits down at the chair. He walks her, you know, he's pulled the chair out, sits her down. He sits down and then he looks in her eyes. And then you know what happens? He sees every man who broke her heart standing Aww. Right behind her.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what a man sees?
Because she's projecting it.
Really?
Yeah. It's through her actions, through
that
her communication.
That is very, very unfortunate.
Yeah.
And what kind of woman does project it?
Well, first we have to heal the wound to begin with.
Okay.
So if you come to the dating table bitter and jaded.
Bringing everything with
yeah,
you, yes.
Then what's going to happen? We're going to see those men standing right behind you. So it's healing those wounds. And where does healing come from? Forgiveness.
Right.
It's not just forgiving them. It's forgiving yourself for any of the choices that you made that you're beating yourself up. Do you know, it's funny. Yesterday yeah. I was driving to go visit my kids. And I'm in a good mood. And I looked in the rearview mirror for a second and I said, I love you. I just took that moment to acknowledge that I'm a good person.
Yes.
That I care about myself.
That's
okay?
beautiful.
And I share that with everyone because how often do we look in the mirror and say, I love you?
Never.
Okay, so everyone who's watching, listening to this program
right now, go to the,
well, after this recording, after this show, I should say, is yes. do yourself a favor and go say, I love you to yourself in the mirror.
It's so true.
Because just even that shift, that little shift, and if you begin to practice it,
yeah.
You know, they say it takes 21 days, 28 days, 42 days to make a shift in yourself, to
yes.
change a behavior.
Yes.
Just start doing it. Start,
as
you know what?
As soon
it's
as you can.
Baby steps. This
right.
isn't going to, this isn't, life isn't, you know, isn't a sprint.
Right.
It's a marathon.
It is a marathon. And also, don't be discouraged, I think, and that's, I'm sure you say it to your yeah. clients. Don't be discouraged if you have. If you fall and you know, you have to get back up or you have a glitch in the process because it does happen.
You know, if I beat myself up for every time I fell in love and got scuffed knees, I wouldn't be in love right now. And
I
I'm
know.
Deliriously in love.
Yeah,
and look, I've been hurt. You know, we guys get hurt too.
Yeah,
guys get hurt too. Look, I was a total jackass dude. You know, I was a player. I was a serial dater. I did the things that a lot of lame guys do, and that's why I'm a good coach because I can help you pick up on that.
Right,
stuff. Okay?
And that is very important.
But at the end of the day, it was my work.
Yeah,
that's what dating really became for me was the experience to look at myself.
Yeah.
And how I respond to others, and the more I matured. The more I was able to show up as a man in relationship.
Yeah. And as you said, also, the more you were comfortable with gender roles
yeah.
at one point, once you in your relationship got more comfortable and more at ease, it was more comfortable for you to be less anxious and for her to be less avoidant, as you put it.
Well, you know what else happened? It's interesting. I went to, you know, after I became more, you know, enmeshed in my relationship.
Yes.
When I went to go visit my guy friends who are still single and dating and they're talking about banging chicks and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
all of a sudden it just felt yucky to me.
And gross. And you yeah. didn't find your place there.
Yeah. Because I learned to respect women.
Yeah.
And now,
which is not a dirty word.
No.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what I want to encourage all the men is that, you know, I cherish my sweetheart.
Yeah.
I absolutely cherish
like
her.
It.
And I think she feels absolutely respected
the
from
The fact that
it.
You call her a sweetheart is to begin with very sweet.
Well, I call her my beloved. So
your beloved is nice.
And what she does is she accepts me at my core.
Okay.
She accepts me in my shame. Those places that I don't even accept myself.
Yeah.
She is absolutely loving in those places. And when a man feels accepted, he surrenders.
Yes.
So ladies, let me just say that one more time.
Yeah.
When a man feels accepted, he surrenders.
Yes.
And you know, if you're having doubts and you demonstrate that in relationship, he's not going to show up confident.
Right.
He can't show up in his full masculine in the relationship. And I know for you ladies, you're dying to just be in your feminine.
Yeah.
Okay, you're dying to surrender to him.
Right.
But that happens in both two places. Acceptance. And this is most key, is gratitude.
Okay. And that's something that people don't take into consideration.
No. In fact, I was just sharing with my sweetheart before I came here to the show.
Yeah.
We were talking about how important gratitude is, not just in relationship, but let's say you're in the middle of a fight.
In general, yes.
Okay, but I'm using a fight, for example.
Yeah.
So one day she was really pissed off at me, okay, which happens often because I'm a jackass at times. Okay? And so I wanted to address the issue.
Yeah.
And what I did was I looked her deep in her eyes. Now, she's defensive, okay?
Right.
She's defensive. She's
yeah.
got her guard up. And I looked her in her eyes and I started to express five places within our relationship that I'm absolutely grateful for.
Yeah.
And as I went from one to two to three.
You saw the softness.
Well,
coming.
Here's what happened. She's like, is he manipulating me?
Possibly.
And we got to the fourth and fifth, and she still hadn't softened yet. And I said, I invite you to share anything you feel grateful for in our relationship.
Yes.
And the minute she started with one, by the time she got to fifth, whatever she was pissed at me about kind of went away. But what it did was her drop her guard down. So her
right.
hands are now down by her side and we could have a talk.
Right.
And I could take, and look at, let me just tell you what happened. I was a jackass. I take responsibility. I mean, I wasn't that bad, but it was. But she took her guards down. So when you can practice gratitude in your relationship.
Yeah.
Because I think the biggest mistake most people do in relationship.
Take
people for granted.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the number one thing that happens that causes people to cheat,
right.
People to lie, people to go see, you know, emotional sex elsewhere, all that kind of stuff,
right.
Because they're not grateful for what they have.
Yes.
And the best relationships I once heard is where the other person feels like they got the better end of the deal.
And I'm going to talk about that theory.
Okay. So, anyway, that's kind of my premises, acceptance and gratitude. And really, lastly, I should say compassion.
Compassion is a very
because when we have compassion for our partner, because they might be going through some struggles, they might go in through some issues, and it's really just taking a space and going, you know what, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here for you.
Right. And I think it should be said.
It's got to be said.
Right? Because people assume that it's understood, but many times it's not. And especially, I think women are a little more verbal. It's it's also kind of, generalizing. Mm-hmm. But in general, in this society, let's just say that in the Western society, women are taught to be more connected to their feelings, whatever, and be more verbal as to how they feel. And it happens, I don't know if you come across it many times, that women tell you that, I don't hear from him what I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you tell them? Like, how do you really direct them?
So I want you to picture a woman going to a guy, I want you to do this. Okay?
Forget it.
Actually, she starts off like this. We need to talk.
We need to talk.
Okay.
That's
and then
the
she
worst
says,
thing you can say.
I want you to do this. And it's really about invitation and inspiring him to show up the way you incur, that you desire.
Yeah.
So when you invite him, he's more apt to be receptive.
Right.
And when you inspire him as well, he's going to naturally want to give more to the relationship.
Right.
So I think when you kind of have those if you're thinking along those lines of invitation, inspiration, that sort of thing, and you shift your mindset. Yeah, it's eliminate. Actually, speaking of my sweetheart, we're actually going to be in San Francisco next month at a conference. And our talk is going to be, we need to talk. How to bring up the touchy subjects.
Yeah.
And it's all about what I just shared today. I mean, a real key component about that is, start with gratitude, start with compassion, start with acceptance. And when I say start, it's all of that combined, but come from a place of that.
Yeah.
Invite your partner in, seek a win-win.
Yeah.
Think conversation, not confrontation.
Very true. Very true. And I think it's innate in us, especially. Yeah. And I'll tell you a cute little story about how males and females communicate. And I think that even when we were, clean slates, completely before society got to us, before social, aspects of things, and before we were kind of inspired by other, inflicted by other things. Let's just take a girl and a boy in kindergarten. The girl comes over, tells the boy, come to my tea party.
Okay.
Takes him by the hand, brings him over to a little table with teacups. They sit down. She tells him, I'll be the mommy. You'll be the daddy. Do you want cream? Do you want sugar? Do you want lemon? No, you're holding the cup wrong. Hold it like this. Bring me the cakes. The kid looks perplexed, completely confused.
Yeah.
He leans down, takes his little toy truck and hits her with it.
Yeah.
Why? Because nothing really happened. I mean, what happened basically is that males, and this is not even conscious. Mm-hmm. This is completely subconscious because this boy doesn't really realize or, verbalizes it. But the idea is that for males, the mere point of being given all these instructions is putting you in a low ranking. And you kind of have the need to level it. His way of doing it was hitting her with a truck. An adult way of doing it is going to get up and, leave or not carry the conversation or drop everything and just, leave the relationship.
But the girl in that story is taking on the masculine.
Right, but she's taking on the demand.
Yeah, but
she's the boy.
But it's control. It's
right,
about being
masculine.
Masculine is all about direction.
I don't see it even as masculine, but I see it as the female need to control the situation.
Okay,
which we're all guilty of, and some to some degrees. You know, it depends where you catch yourself in your life doing that. But I think the women are, in general, have this tendency because they want these reactions, they want these answers, they want the specific behavior that they need from the male part. They need to kind of direct them in the in this direction. And the idea is it's never going to the right place if you do
it. Well, control is an illusion.
Yeah.
It's an illusion.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as control.
Right.
Now, for the most part, can we predict that, you know, when I leave here, I can walk downstairs and go to my car and, you know, so forth. But I can't control what's going to happen. Will there be traffic?
Right.
All the different things that will happen throughout the day. You can predict that you'll get up in the morning, but you don't have any control over that. You're, you know, I actually think, you know, it's a good day if you wake up.
It's very true. And this is, again, gratitude.
Yeah, and be grateful for it. Because, you know, a lot of people this morning didn't get up.
It's very true.
And so, you know, I think you're right about the control. And by the way, men are just as controlling, too.
Yeah,
so
but
let's not let them off.
To. No, no, but we expect them to. And women, on one hand, we're expected, we wanna surrender. We wanna just give ourselves. Yeah. But on the other hand, we want it our way. Why doesn't he say to me that he loves me or that I'm beautiful 5 times an hour?
Yeah.
Because this is what I want. You know, I expect him to do this. And then if he doesn't, I'm going to tell him to hold the teacup the way I want. You know?
You know what? I'm going to share something. My sweetheart will kill me. But whenever she's mad at me, I actually just give her more love. Okay? What I mean by that is, because what you just said earlier, I want him to do it a certain way.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you demonstrate what you want by just being who you want to be?
Yeah.
And invite, again, it's an invitation.
Yeah.
If he doesn't join you, that's not a bad thing. Okay? It's about really looking, saying, do you really need to be called every 37 seconds to know that, you know, he's thinking about you? Because really, if he's at work, he should be, for example, if he's at work, then he should be focused on his purpose.
Right.
Okay. So if you're coming from a place of need, that's something within yourself missing.
Right. That you need to solve for yourself.
Versus a want.
Yes.
Okay. I am a total believer of having wants, but a need is something you need to fix within yourself.
Right.
You know? So really, if you kind of start viewing things
as two different.
Differently, because it's all about making a shift. When you can start shift your thinking, and then you shift your behaviors around that thinking, then you can make change.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And it starts again with baby steps, as I said earlier. It's those little steps of change. First, it's awareness. You know, now you shine a light on it. Well, you can either do nothing about it.
Right.
And what's that saying? The definition of insanity? Doing the same things over and over again, expecting
different
results.
Like,
I mean,
very
come on.
True.
So you can now know something and you could either do nothing about it, or you can start making changes within yourself. And believe me, guys will, look at, I was trainable, okay?
Obviously.
But let me tell you what she did.
Yeah.
She had clear boundaries.
Yes.
Okay? And she accepted me and who I was, and she gave me invitations on what she enjoyed.
Okay.
That's how she trained me. She didn't manipulate me.
No.
It wasn't like, okay, you know, here's a rule. If he sends a text message, you don't respond for 3 days or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, people
those are
have
stupid
these
those
stupid-
are games. Exactly.
Yeah.
So what she did was she had clear boundaries. She never accepted to be a doormat.
Yeah.
She, you know, accepted me for who I was, and she invited me to learn about what she wanted.
Right.
You know what? I was a putty. Men are easily trainable.
Yeah.
But women do this. They want him to show up exactly the way I want him to show up.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying. Yeah, that control.
You know, women from the South are amazing at training their men.
Yeah, because they're wise about it.
Yeah, because they know there's an art to love. And by the way, I'm sure I'm pissing off a lot of women here, you know, saying the word training. And I say it kind of with tongue in cheek. Okay, so let's be real here.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, be clear on your boundaries and invite him to learn what you like. Okay? Because men are pleasers too.
Yeah,
and when
course.
We learn what you like, we're more than happy, and we want to be your hero at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's a win-win. But if you're expecting him to show up exactly the way you want him to show up, he will fail you time and time again.
It's very true because, and what's funny is that both sides have the same expectations, only the way they maneuver it is wrong. I mean, because as you said, he wants to be your hero, you want him to be your hero. But the way you demand it, it's never going to happen. And this is the mistake. Now, I want to ask you, there's a theory called the matching hypothesis.
Okay.
Which says that we are picking our loved ones or someone that we feel that is going to be fitting in our lives. According to, and I'm not going to go into all other aspects, but according to our social value. Mm-hmm. And especially in terms of our appearance. Do you find it true when it comes to women that come to see you? I mean, do they expect, let's just give you an example of someone very attractive. Pam Anderson is coming over to find a mate.
Okay.
She's done with Tommy Lee and she's interested. So what would be satisfying to a woman that finds or gets, you know, the attention, the social attention as a bombshell, for instance? Would she be satisfied with a man that is less, you know, attractive or has other aspects? Or is she going to expect, you know, the only mate that she'll be happy with is someone who is identically, you know, as sexy or appealing?
A hairy version of herself.
Yeah. Or somewhat hairy, muscular. Yeah.
Okay. But I think if women would, I'm going to say it this way.
Yeah.
If they just sat and meditated on what they wanted most. I will tell you that if they deep down, if I could come up with one word that they want most, deep in their core, they want to be cherished.
Okay.
Except, so here's the deal. They want to be cherished. Okay. That's what's most important, I think, deep down for most women. But what happens is, well, I want him to look like Mr. Big from Sex and the City, or I want him to look like Tommy Lee or whatever. I want him to look a certain way because, but a guy could show up exactly like the way she wants, but treat her like crap.
Right.
Okay. Now, a guy who looks like George Costanza from Seinfeld could show up, absolutely cherish her, and she reject him.
It's funny that you mentioned George because he has a bad personality as well as his bad looks.
And here's the deal. I'm not saying that this is about settling for a guy that you're not attracted to. But ultimately, isn't it more important to be cherished than
than
having your perfect ideal physical design?
Right.
Okay. Because a woman who could be financial, for example, let's take a woman who's financially successful.
Yes.
And she needs a guy who makes more money. Okay.
Right.
In fact, she needs a guy who needs more. She wants a guy who makes more money than her, that's smarter than her, that's better looking for her. Everything is better. And you know what the guys she dates would have to be dating down.
Right.
Because she wants to date up, he'd have to be dating down.
Yeah, he doesn't want someone as smart, as achieving, as making that much money.
Well, men only want one thing. Okay?
What is that?
Really, when it comes to women, do I feel good when I'm with her?
Okay. I think it's a very mature way of thinking. What you're
saying. Am I happy? Do I feel good about myself when I'm with her? Am I happy? When a guy feels good about himself and he's happy to be with her,
yeah.
You know, that's the secret to keeping guys,
right.
Okay?
Yeah,
I mean, besides food, fun, sex, and everything else,
besides,
you know.
Yeah, of course, things.
So I call that the four keys of kingdom. But ultimately, when a guy feels good about who he's with and he's attracted to her, he's not going anywhere.
Right.
But and by the way, men have their own hangups. Look, there are guys
of
who
course.
Think, and by the way, I'm a Megan Fox fan, as opposed to Pam Anderson. Although I just saw Priscilla Presley at dinner the other night.
Yes.
And I mean, for a woman who's 68, she looks
phenomenal.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I would have just, if I didn't have my girlfriend with me.
Yes, well.
I still wouldn't have. But anyway, but what I think is both men have their own, you know, unrealistic expectations.
Right.
And what happens is when we set up extreme expectations and we call them we're not going to settle our standards.
Right.
I think that's an absolute block to love.
Yeah.
Date someone because they make you happy. Date someone because you enjoy their company and then enjoy the journey. In fact, I will tell you this.
Yes.
68% of women that I've interviewed that are in happy relationships said I wasn't attracted to the guy on the first, second, or third date.
Right.
I was not attracted.
And then I built it. It was kind of...
They fell in love with who he was.
Right. His personality.
Yeah.
I tend to agree.
Yeah.
But I am saying that based on studies that... And we're going to wrap it up soon and I want you to give your information again. But the studies allegedly say that if we pick someone who is like stepping down from us and is like a lower ranking of what we expect, or, you know, the other way around, we're not going to be as satisfied. Which, you know, you can take it and analyze it as you want and see what fits with you. I think it really is too generalized. But
because you're probably not compassionate, you're not grateful, and you're not accepting.
Right.
So if you're not those three things, you're absolutely right. You will not be satisfied.
It's very true.
Okay. Follow those threes and you're covered.
I absolutely agree. Give your information again okay. So everybody
well,
can
Well, first
contact.
Off, I want to thank you so much.
Thank
this was
you.
So
it
fantastic.
Was such a pleasure
so
to have you.
I wanted to
and
share
we'll
that.
And we'll be happy to have you again.
Okay. My website is understandmennow.com. And if you click on that, there's a bunch of free gifts that I'm giving away. So just click on the link and
that
join
is
my
even
community.
Better. Oh, my God. I'm so happy to have you. Thank you, Jonathan, for coming.
Oh, thank you, sir.
It was such a pleasure.
My
and
pleasure.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Dr. Limor Blockman, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Rush. Can we take a picture?
Yeah,